Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average down 258 at 18,066. S&P 500 down 32 at 2127. NASDAQ Composite down 56 at 5,155. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 6 basis points at 1.73%. Oil down $1.39 at $44.90 per barrel. Gold down $9 at $13.1940 per ounce. Stocks opened in negative territory slipped further. Any rallies were half-hearted at best. 2 months of tranquility was pierced Friday when the S&P 500 tumbled in its worst rout since the Brexit vote. Things aren't any better in the $13.6 trillion Treasury market. 10-year notes were stuck in their tightest monthly range in a decade up until September. Stocks exited the tightest trading range in history last week when ECB President Mario Draghi downplayed the need for more measures to boost growth, and Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren warned against waiting too long to raise interest rates. Fed rate hike expectations are falling. Dovish commentary from Federal Reserve Governor Lael Brainard yesterday pushed back expectations for a September interest rate hike. In a note out late Monday, economists at Goldman Sachs cut their forecast for a rate increase at the September 20th, 21st meeting to a probability of 25%, down from 40% previously. It also lifted the odds for a December tightening to 40% from 30%. This is the third time this month the Goldman economists have changed their stance on the September meeting. But don't expect the volatility to just vanish. Abrupt breaks in calm have not been easily resolved in the past. In the 5 prior instances when turbulence spiked, as it did Friday, the S&P 500's daily swings averaged 1.5% in the next 20 days. That's 2.5 times the move in the previous 20 days. Oil futures dropped after the International Energy Agency cut its crude forecast, warning that supply will continue to outpace demand well into 2017. Global oil consumption growth sagged to a 2-year low in the third quarter as demand faltered in China and India, while record output from OPEC's Gulf members is compounding the glut. As recently as last month, the IEA had expected the market to return to equilibrium this year. The agency downgraded its global oil demand predictions by about 100,000 barrels a day for this year to growth of 1.3 million barrels a day and cut its forecast for 2017 by 200,000 barrels to growth of 1.2 million a day. And as demand weakens, global inventories will continue to grow. Stockpiles in July smashed through the 3.1 billion barrel wall. With its first long-range electric car, General Motors has released figures that show it's focused on beating Tesla at its own game. The new Bolt will be rated at 238 miles on a single charge when it comes to showrooms later this year. That gives it a longer range than the Model 3 Tesla, which is expected to have a range of at least 215 miles and is not expected to go on sale until 2017. The Bolt also likely to be priced at about $37,500, close to the same price point as Tesla's first mass-marketed car. The record-breaking installations of solar panels in the U.S. continues with 2 gigawatts installed in the second quarter of this year. That, according to data from GTM Research and the Solar Energy Industries Association. The solar industry installed 2,051 megawatts between April and June, marking the 11th consecutive quarter in which the U.S. saw more than a gigawatt of solar capacity added to the grid. The volume of installations also marks 43% growth from the same quarter in 2015. Nevada regulators are set to decide this week on a settlement between Berkshire Hathaway's utility NV Energy, Solar City, and the state's consumer advocate to roll back rate increases for customers who installed rooftop solar systems prior to this year. The three-member Nevada Public Utilities Commission has scheduled a September 16th vote on a proposal to shield more than 32,000 rooftop solar customers from increases that took effect in January. Last year, NV Energy proposed increased charges and reduced payments to rooftop solar customers, saying the existing model forced non-solar customers to subsidize those who did use the green power. SolarCity, Sunrun, and other solar installers stopped taking customers in the state soon after the December decision by the commission to raise rates on all solar homes. They sued after regulators denied an appeal of the ruling. The proposal would put existing solar homes back onto the rates they paid before the increases started. NV Energy asked the PUC to grandfather those rates for as many as 20 years. Phoenix-based Freeport-McMoRan will sell its deepwater Gulf of Mexico assets to Anadarko Petroleum for $2 billion, the deal expected to close before year's end. Freeport's sale all but ends a disastrous diversification from copper and gold mining into energy drilling, a move that received widespread investor criticism and is at the heart of the company's 66% share price collapse over the past 3 years and the suspension of its quarterly dividend. Fewer Americans lived in poverty last year, and median incomes charted their first increase since the Great Recession, that according to data released today by the Census Department. The official poverty rate fell 1.2 percentage points between 2014 and 2015 to 13.5%, and the number of people in poverty fell by 3.5 million. The threshold for a family of two adults and two children to be considered living in poverty was $24,036. Real median household income rose 5.2% during the year, the first annual increase in median household incomes since 2007. Earnings also increased 1.5% for full-time year-round male workers and 2.7% for female workers. That was the first significant annual increase in median earnings for either gender since 2009. A measure of small business sentiment declined in August as owners became more hesitant, with election worries at the forefront. The National Federation of Independent Business Small Business Optimism Index fell 0.2 points to 94.4. The outlook for business conditions in the next 6 months had the most dramatic change, down 7 points. Boeing reports Chinese airlines are likely to purchase 6,810 planes worth just over $1 trillion in the next 20 years as they expand fleets to cater to growth in tourism. Boeing will also unveil its TX trainer plane, designed jointly with Sweden's Saab, the company counting on the model to train generations of U.S. fighter pilots and keep alive its St. Louis manufacturing base. A second HanGen vessel will dock and unload at the Port of Los Angeles after more than a week stranded off the Southern California coast. The move raised hopes that gridlock could be easing after a U.S. bankruptcy judge issued an order Friday allowing the financially ailing HanGen Shipping provisional protection from creditors so vessels could dock and unload products. Starting in 2011, Wells Fargo employees opened 2 million bank and credit card accounts in customers' names without their knowledge. The goal was to generate fees for the company and hit aggressive sales targets for employees. After an investigation, the bank was accused of improperly opening accounts by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, and the Los Angeles prosecutor. Last week, we told you the bank and regulators had settled for $185 million. But wait, there's more. The Senate Banking Committee has scheduled a hearing for September 20th to investigate the matter. Moody's credit rating agency issued a warning that the settlement may have a negative effect on Wells' debt because of image concerns, and they called the incident highly disturbing. Today, Treasury Secretary Jack Lew said Wells Fargo had participated in bad behavior and that the accusations showed bank regulation should not be rolled back. Wells Fargo CEO John Stumpf, in an interview with the Wall Street Journal, said that there was no incentive to do bad things at Wells and laid the blame on the employees rather than the culture of the firm. CFO John Shrewsberry said the fraudulent accounts were not opened in order to generate revenue for the bank. Instead, a few employees opened them to boost their performance. The bank claims that 5,300 lower-level employees were fired in relation to the cross-selling shenanigans. However, that number is now in question because that figure covers terminations over the period that the regulators investigated, from 2011 through 2015. However, the regulators did not start investigating until 2014, so most of the firings were probably not related to the scandal. Or, if they were firing employees for opening phony accounts prior to the beginning of the investigation, it means upper management was aware of fraudulent activity and failed to report it. But wait, there's more. Wells Fargo executive Carrie Tolstad tendered her resignation in June. She's scheduled to leave the bank at the end of the year. Wells Fargo says her retirement is not a result of the findings of the investigation. She is in line to receive roughly $125 million in stock and other compensation from the bank. It's a golden parachute. Tolstad was in charge of community banking during the entire time the sandbagging operation took place. Her success in cross-selling was repeatedly cited in annual proxies as the reason for her $9 million a year compensation plus the retirement package. When she resigned, John Stumpf said Tolstad had been one of the bank's most important leaders and a standard bearer of our culture and a champion for our customers. Well, I'm not sure what kind of culture Stumpf champions, but it looks like modern-day bandits are more likely to be inside the stagecoach than outside it. Dow Industrials down 258 today at 18,066. S&P 500 down 32 at 2127. NASDAQ Composite dropped 56 at 5,155. Follow along live streaming and archived audio at moneyradio.com.